right then.
We're going to start with a meditation, so please get ready. Cough. Blow your nose. Turn off your phone, Geshe Michael. Maybe. Then please relax your forehead. Relax your mouth. Relax your eyes. Relax your fingers. Pull on your stomach a little bit. And come to your breath. Follow your breath. And please invite your Lama to come sit in front of you. Then make them an offering, something sweet you did yesterday, even just a single sweet thought. then confess something you did negative yesterday. Small thing. But let your Lama know. And something you did good. Again, tell them something else you did nice yesterday. And ask them to teach you. Ask them to stay. Then decide you're going to die before sunset tonight, 6:30. Imagine and picture it, visualize it, something unexpected. And then how would you like to spend your day? We'll stay here for about 10 minutes. Can you please come back to your breath? Three slow breaths. Then slowly you can open your eyes. Take a stretch. Thank you. Let's go on the scripture. Potowekyan. Yeah, at the bottom. Good. Potowekyan, Kapseni, Kitsambu Miyong Sung. Potowa was also a Kadampa, early Tibetan Buddhist. And he said, if you take a needle and it has two points, then you can't sew anything, okay? Like, if you try to sew with a needle that has two points, then it just make a mess, okay? And you see this quotation in meditation books, and it means you can't hold two meditation objects at one time, so you have to choose one, okay? So, usually, when you're doing your meditations every day, you should probably keep one for 2 or 3 weeks. Like, stick to a certain meditation or a series of meditations for 2 or 3 weeks. And then, before you get tired of it, you can change it to another meditation subject. But you shouldn't try to do two different meditations at the same time, okay? Two different objects at the same time. Like, I don't know, you can't meditate about your lama's eyes and then at the same time do a death meditation. You know, you have to choose one and follow it for a while, okay? So they say a needle can't sew with two points, okay? But here it doesn't mean that. Here it has a different meaning. And it means you can't do Dharma and expect to be famous at the same time. You got to do either one or the other. If you want to be famous, work on that. If you want to do Dharma, work on that. But don't try to use your Dharma to get famous, okay? Because when you start thinking about whether people admire you, then it destroys the Dharma right away. You won't have Dharma, okay? You may be meditating and teaching, but you're not practicing Dharma, okay? So you can't do both. You got to choose one or the other. Okay. Chiwa Madhyana, Tse Le Tawa Minjung Shing, Tse Ndi Le Tawa Machungna, Nyepa Chungna Gawa Machungna Migawa. Chiwa Madhyana means if you don't think about your death, Tse Le Tawa Minjung, you won't be able to give up on this life. If you can't give up on this life, then if you get something, you'll feel very happy. If you lose something, you'll be very unhappy. If you feel good physically, you feel you're in a good mood. If you get a little bit of a cold, you start being mean to everybody. If you get a little bit famous, somebody mentions your name on the internet, you feel really happy. Minyan means if people are ignoring you and no one talks about you, you feel unhappy. Okay. Tume, if people say nice things about you, praise you, you feel good. And mepa, if they criticize you, you feel upset. Okay. Chugegi wang dudro. Then if you don't meditate about death, you will have these eight feelings. And if you have these eight feelings, it means you have to do more death meditation. Okay? They gave me Luduki. Then he's going to give the source for the eight worldly thoughts. And he quotes that verse by Nagarjuna from the letter to the friend, okay, Suhalekha. And we covered that verse already. Jikten Kemba means knower of the world. And that's how Nagarjuna addresses the king. Like, you know worldly things, but I have to teach you Dharma. Okay? And then, Nyeda Manye, get things, don't get things. Deda Mide, feel good today, don't feel good today. Nyenda Minyan, people are talking about you, people aren't ignoring you. Timea, people are praising you, people are criticizing you. Jikten Chugyepo, these are the eight worldly thoughts. Daki Yiyu Mimbar, they are not worthy objects of your mind. Gonyom Zu, make your mind level, make your mind steady. Okay. Che Simbatar, then he gives another example of Potowa. Potowa was also an early Kadampa. You Purwe Logyu Jar. You means turquoise, turquoise stone. And it's very popular in Tibet. And silver is very popular. So some people think they're related to American Indians in this region, Navajo, Hopi, and Apache. I don't know. But Yu is a very popular stone in Tibet. Puwa means, if somebody offered Potowa a turquoise, and Logyu means the story. He told us the story about Potowa's turquoise. Then he doesn't tell you the story. So I went and got the story for you, okay? It's from the Lives of the Lama Rim Teachers. There's a 2-volume set by one of the teachers of the Dalai Lamas. And Lenchik Jindaki Yud Trumar Chemposhik. One time a sponsor gave Potowa, he offered Potowa a large turquoise with a reddish hue, okay, which is more expensive. Puwa Chakta Mashepa. Then he didn't take it in his hand, and he just pointed to the table. You know, he just pointed to his table. Dundu Shokchik, he said, Dadze means, he didn't even say anything. Dadze means he made a gesture that was like, you can put it there on the table. He didn't even want to touch it. It's very expensive. It's like a diamond. And the guy put it on the table. Then he did a prayer for the sponsor, and he for their family and for the sponsor. And then it looked like he wasn't going to take it. He wasn't going to take it home. Sangning Geshe Puno Nam Chokshendu Pep. Then all of their group, the whole group, Potowa and all his students, the next day they left. They went to another place. Jindak De Yima Chepa Shuksar. Then the sponsor thought, oh, he probably took it. They probably took it at night, you know. So he snuck into the teaching room and he went to the table. You know what happened. Jinda De Yima Chepa Sadhu, you did Dangang Shak the Dagarang Duk. It was just sitting there. The priceless jewel was just sitting there. And they like didn't take it with them. They forgot to take it, right? They weren't thinking about it. Geshe Potowa da de kor tamche kyang sang sing ngu bukalang mi chapar. Then all of his Geshe Potowa and his students, they didn't have much attraction to money or to physical things. Se le dang shadat chung de. What's shadat? We had it yesterday, but that was a long time ago. Shatak is colloquial. You use it a lot in the monastery. It means 100% or exclusively. So Shatak Chun, they weren't interested in money. Nambatapa Det Sam Yang Tempa Rinpoche Gendu Cheyo. And then the writer of this biography, who's one of the teachers of the, I think the 8th Dalai Lama, something like that, he said, if you want a real gem, this story is a gem. Okay. That kind of attitude is a gem, you know. So that was kind of cool. Ling Repa is an early Kagyu Lama. And he has a very famous verse. And I'll read it to you, okay? So in Buddhism, we have a custom that sometimes we go to meditate in a cemetery. So cemetery nowadays is very clean, and you know, you want to hear a cemetery story? Yeah. So anyway, Dalai Lama's teacher, senior teacher, Ling Rinpoche, he came to America once, and he's supposed to be Yamantaka. He's supposed to be Lord of Death, you know, killer of the Lord of Death. And so he was, I don't know, he was like 80 years old. And I was 26 at the time. And they got a limousine. And they said, you're going to drive the limousine, you know. So I was his driver. I told you this story, I don't know. Anyway, and at the time I was studying Abhidharma. I was memorizing Abhidharma. So I was driving the car. And they said, when he gets in the car, don't talk to him.
don't say anything, because he's your mantaka, you know. And I was like, okay, you know. And I practiced driving a limousine with this guy, and I was so scared I ran through a stop sign. And I guess in India the important people get in the front of the car. And I was expecting him to get in the back. And he sat down next to me. And then I'm driving the car, and there's two high lamas in the back, you know. And I had to drive him for like 4 hours. And I was driving, and he says, "Hey, what's your name?" You know, I'm like, "Mike." You know, "How old are you?" And I got scared. I said, 62. Then he laughed. He said, "Oh, you're going to live a long life." Then we kept driving, the guy in the lama in the back said, "No, Mike knows the Abhidharma really well." And so he quoted the second chapter. He quoted the second chapter. I just memorized that part the day before. And I was like, he's like, "Whoa." Then we kept driving, and then he saw a cemetery. And he said, "What's that?" You know, I'm not supposed to talk to him. I'm like, and the two lamas fell asleep in the back. And he's like, "What's that?" I said, "That's a cemetery." He says, "What's that?" I said, "You know, when people die, they bury the body under the ground." He says, "What? They take a nice park and they dig a hole and they put the body in there and they cover it up and they waste the whole park just to bury a dead body?" I said, "Yeah." He says, "Oh, that's so stupid. Why don't they just burn it or give it to the birds, you know?" And, you know, so we talked the whole way. We had a good time. And anyway, so in the old days in India, a cemetery is very frightening, very bad place, because they just put the bodies out on the ground. We were in Varanasi a few weeks ago, right? They just throw the bodies on the ground. They burn some of them. We were in the Ganges River. Sometimes you see an arm floating down. And that was where we were. Yeah. And they just throw, if they don't have enough wood, they just throw the rest of the body in the river. And that's why we got sick. Anyway. So then in the old days, Buddhist meditator will go sit in that place, and the wild animals come at night, and they tear up the bodies, and they eat the bodies. And it's very scary to sit there next to a dog that's tearing up a body, you know. Then you're supposed to examine your mind. You're supposed to examine your own fear, you know. And then this was a Buddhist practice for many centuries. People did that. And just to check out your own fear. You can go to the side of a cliff and sit there and check your own, you know, how do you feel about yourself, you know. And these are just ways to check your mind. And so he talks about, Ling Repa talks about a special burial ground, cemetery. Korwa Namdoki Tongkirna, the biggest burial ground is in your own mind. If you want to go to a scary place, go to your own mind. You don't have to go to Varanasi, you know. Just go to your own, inside your own mind. Namdoki Tongkir. There's a whole city of stupid ideas there. Jigten Chögyur, Rolang Gyur. And there are zombies walking around in the city, you know. You know, like Z War, what do they call it?
World War Z.
World War Z, you know, zombies. I saw it in the airport lounge. You know, there's zombies walking dead people, you know. And then he says those zombies, you don't have to go to the Varanasi to meet a zombie. You got them in your own mind. Your mind is full of zombies. What are they? The eight worldly thoughts, okay? Eight worldly thoughts. They are in your mind. In the cemetery, here. Dutra Jigsa Rungwa Shik Dena Da. If you need a scary place to go, go to your own mind. Go inside your own mind. And you can meet some scary people there called the eight worldly thoughts, okay? You want to meet scary people? Go inside your own head, okay? Lama Ronyam Shik Zena Derudzu. Then there's a practice where a lama can kill a zombie, okay? All right, it's hard to kill a zombie. but a llama can kill it, okay? And so they say if you want to go on a zombie hunt and you want to kill a zombie, then go inside your own mind. Try to find those eight worldly attitudes, like, oh, if I teach really well, people will admire me. And then try to kill that zombie. And they're hard to kill. Because they're already supposed to be dead, right? You're supposed to be a Dharma person. But they keep waking up again. Okay? Like you think, you think, oh, I'm not so proud anymore. Then you start to get proud about not being proud. And they won't stay dead. They won't stay dead. You think you killed it. And then they get up again, you know. So he says, if you want to go to a cemetery, just go in here. And that's true, okay? I always have two or three students, they hear about this, they try to go to a cemetery, they get really cold, they don't get enough sleep, and they come home and watch TV, okay? Okay. So I got you a bunch of quotes. Lots of lamas have talked about that verse, but if I go like that, then I can't teach you all the meditations you have to learn for the 3 days, so I'm going to skip it. But it's a lot of cool stuff. By the way, one lama says you should be like a corpse. And, you know, corpses don't get all excited if they get a new girlfriend, or they don't get all upset if they lose their girlfriend. You know, that way you should be like a corpse, you know. You give a corpse a yotiao, and they're like, and then you take away the yotiao, and they're like, you know, they don't get all excited. And, okay. Okay. I'm at class 3, or you can just type class 3. Class space 3. Okay, good. Dena tse di lu tang na, tang ne lo puk chu la te. So now he's going to go off on something. He doesn't talk about it. He doesn't talk about where he got it from, but I studied it for a long time. So there's a thing called the 10 riches of the Kadampas, okay? There's 10 ideas called the 10 riches of the Kadampa Lamas, okay? So they're from 1,000 years ago. And he starts to talk about them. And I would just like to take you through those 10, okay? So I'm going to use a different commentary, and it's one that I translated about 30 years ago, okay? They're called the 4 aims, 4 goals, the 3 diamonds, and the 3 promotions. How many does that make? 10. Okay. Okay. So the 4 aims are, and this is a meditation that you're going to do, okay? It's called practice, beggar, death, ravine. Practice, beggar, death, ravine. Ravine means a cliff. Like this is a ravine out here, this dry place. Practice, beggar, death, ravine. Or cliff. Like, what do you call it? Wash. Like this wash here, okay? Like this empty wash out here. So those are the first 4 of the 10, okay? These are the Kadampa 10 riches. So those 4 are going to be one of your meditations, okay? 4 ideas. Number 1. What was the first? Practice, okay? So this is where, you know, you go to a retreat and your mom made you go. And you're not so interested in it, but, you know, you want to respect your mother. And so you go to the retreat and then maybe you get interested. You know, you hear about some things and you say, oh, that's kind of interesting. I think I'll try to practice, you know. And then you get serious about your practice, okay? And it takes time to do practice, okay? Like, and then you want to have a career also, you know. And if you want a career in a real company, like my company, you got to spend time. Like, you got to put time there. You can't, you know, you should go early. If everyone comes at 9 o'clock, you should be there at 7:30, you know. If you really want to become a vice president, or you, and you have to stay after. You have to stay till 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock. I did it for 19 years. I know. You got to come early. You got to set out the work. You know, you got to read all the news, what's the economic stuff for today. Then you know, you have to call India. Then you got to call China. Before 9 o'clock, you got to do all this stuff. And then after work, after 5 o'clock, everybody else goes home. You got to stay. If you want to be a big guy, you got to stay, and you look at all the computer reports and figure out who didn't do their work, and, you know. It's like 10 hours, 12 hours. You have to if you want to be, you know, like a international VP or something. And then, you know, you go to some program and they're talking about meditating every morning and doing your yoga every morning. And then you got to go to the old folks' home and help the old lady. And you're supposed to help the poor people. And then, you know, you're supposed to study, go reading club. Then it gets to be crunch, you know. It gets to be a conflict, and you don't know what to do, you know. Like, if you meditate and do yoga and study in the morning, you're not going to get to work at 7:30. Or you can wake up at 4. That lasts about a week. You can't do it. You can't do both. And so in the Kadampa system in ancient Tibet, at some point, maybe you have to make a choice, okay? I'm not going to be a vice president, okay? I'm not going to be a vice president. I got to do my yoga. I got to do my meditation. You know, I want to go to class in the evening. I can't leave at 8 o'clock. I got to leave at 5. And I did it for many years, you know? And I had to make those choices and for many, many years. And I got so much hassle from people. You know, I got so much criticism from people. Why are you going to India? You know, I have to study, you know. Yeah, but we have an important meeting. I'm sorry, I got to go. You know, and it was always tense. A lot of tension, you know, like, stay late. I'm like, no, I can't. I got a class, you know. Well, then come early. I can't. I got to meditate, you know. Well, then what do you want to do? You want to be a meditator? You want to be a vice president, you know? And so at some point, you got to make choices. And then that leads to the second one, which is what? Practice. And so you're never going to be as rich as other people, okay? You're not going to be. You'll never be the $200,000 a year person, okay? You make a choice, okay? If you decide to meditate and do your practice, then, you know, you're not going to be super rich. Okay? It's not going to happen. Okay? And then if you get really serious, what happens? What's the third one? Oh, yeah, you die. It's like you don't have enough money to even live, you know? Like, in America, if you don't have a lot of money, you can't get to a good doctor. You know what I mean? You know? Like you can... My doctor, I have a doctor. I mean, I don't like doctors. Recently, I got one just for fun. And they're like, here, you need this and this and this and this and this and this. I'm like, that's $500 a month. They're like, yeah, but you should take them, you know. And I'm like, I don't have $500. I can't, you know. So then you make another choice, you know. Are you going to do all the supplements, you know, the $500 supplements, and sign up for Narium, you know. That's like $500 a month. And, you know, at some point, because you did your practice, you don't have enough money to pay all the doctors, and you die. And then, what's the fourth one? Ravine means maybe if you follow that career path, you don't have enough. You don't leave enough money behind you for have a funeral. So they have to take your body and just throw it someplace. Maybe in modern time, this should be a dumpster. Okay, dumpster is that big garbage can behind the store. So in the nighttime, your family will take your body, put it in the dumpster, you know. Because he didn't leave us any money to give a funeral, you know. We didn't have any money for a funeral. So just throw him in the dumpster, you know. You know, it smells funny for a few days. It's okay. Okay. So that's like an extreme path, okay? So what is it again? What's the first one?
Practice.
If you spend the time to practice, you probably won't have time to be vice president. Less money. Less money, you can't afford expensive doctors. Die. Die? Can't afford a funeral? Dumpster. Throw the body in the garbage. Okay? All right? So if you do death meditation, you make those choices. Okay? You make a choice. You know, you decide what do you want to be. Okay? All of my friends thought I was crazy. That goes to the next one, the three diamonds. Okay? Ready? We did four, right? Now we're doing three more. Three diamonds, okay? First one is... what is the first one?
Uncatchable.
Put the uncatchable diamond ahead of you. It means if you start to practice seriously, your friends will all say you're crazy. And your family will all say you're crazy. You know, you waste your time. What do you do every morning meditating, you know? Why don't you go to work early, get more money, you know? Or, you know, you spend your time doing yoga. Why are you doing all that stuff, you know? Why are you studying all day? Why aren't you out and finding a nice boy at the nightclub, or, you know? Your family will start to say you're crazy. Uncatchable diamond means just go for it, okay? They will try to stop you. And they will try to say, you're stupid, or, you know, you're a strange person, what are you doing, you know? Why are you spend all your time meditating and reading these books, you know? Why don't you be normal person, okay? Then you have to be uncatchable. Like, you're running ahead and nobody can catch you. Your family criticizing you, and you're like, uncatchable diamond means you're like diamond. You're strong. Your mind is, what do you call, stubborn like a diamond? Okay? And your family's like, rah, 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 and you're like, yeah, okay. But they can't catch you. Okay? They can't pull you back. Okay? Unabashable diamond. Unabashable is a hard word in English. Abashable means I'm embarrassed. You know, I regret what I did. Like, oh, I went to Arizona. I spent 20 days doing a retreat. You know, I couldn't be at work. I couldn't be at home. My family said I made a mistake. Unabashable means I don't think so. So in the Dharma business, you have to be stubborn. Okay? People will say, well, you know, don't you think you made a mistake going to Arizona for 20 years? You say, no, I don't think so. Yeah, but you didn't get a promotion at your job. Yeah, but I have to die, you see? I have to get ready. I have to pack my suitcase, you know? And then your family will say, no, you're stupid, you know? You don't have to pack your suitcase. Then it becomes a, what do you call, tension, you know? You want to pack your suitcase, and they don't even think they have to pack a suitcase, you know? Then it's hard, okay? You have to be like a diamond, okay? Then people, I went to a big school, big university. All my friends became famous lawyers and very wealthy, like head of the Atomic Energy Commission and things like that. And then nowadays they all write me and ask me for help. Oh, I'm going to die. You know, what do I do? You know, can you teach me to meditate? You know, they wasted 30 years, 40 years, they wasted the life. And it's too late. You know, they want to learn meditation. They're already 65. I said, you know, why didn't you ask me 30 years ago? I was busy. You know, I was working, you know. I said, well, where's all the money? They said, I left it to my kids and they spent it in like 2 years. You know. Okay. So you got to get your suitcase ready. If you think about death, you will be uncatchable. And you're just going ahead and getting your suitcase ready. And you are helping people and you want to become a Buddha. And you're just zooming ahead like a rocket ship. And everybody else is like, dang, 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 dang. And you're like, okay, bye. And then you make mistakes in your Dharma practice, okay? You will make mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes. And then your friends will say, see, I told you, you know. You know, you tried that vegan diet and you got a cold or something. You know what I mean? And then you gotta just ignore all the criticism, okay? People will criticize you, okay? They'll keep telling you made the wrong choice until they get old enough. Then they'll start asking you to help them, okay? Almost every student who left this kind of teachings writes me later. I call it the email. I get the email, and it's like, my husband died in my arms. What do I do? Please do something, you know? And I'm like, I've been teaching Lamrim for 21 retreats. You didn't come to 2 of them. And now you want me to do something? You know, I get the email. I always get the email, you know? They don't come for 19 retreats and then they write me the email. What do I do? My husband died, or, you know, I got cancer. What do I do? I'm like, I just spent 19 10-day retreats explaining to you what to do, but you didn't come. Okay? So, get ready, okay? Don't think the 3 diamonds mean, oh, 1 diamond means you keep it at your side. 1 diamond is future, right? You just shoot off in the future like a rocket ship. Don't worry about what people say. About the past, okay, I made some mistakes in my practice. You can criticize me, but that's over and I'm already past that. Okay, I'm on my way. And then in your hand, you keep the diamond of super stubborn Dharma mind. You know? And all the time with you. Okay? It's called the wisdom diamond at your side. So wisdom diamond at your side means in the present time. Uncatchable diamond means in the future, I'm off. I'm practicing. You know, I don't care what you think, you know. I'm already on level 9, you know. And then in the past, yeah, okay, maybe I made some mistakes. Maybe I did too much meditation or I made mistakes in my meditation or my practice. That's okay, but I'm learning, you know. You can't have a life without mistakes, okay. So just don't worry about it. Unabashable. Did you make mistakes? Yes. Were you making mistakes in your practice? Yes. So shouldn't you give up your practice? No. And then later they'll be asking you, how do I practice, right? So just leave it, okay? And go for it, okay? That's the 3 diamonds, got it? You okay? 1 is future, 1 is past, 1 is now. Future means I'm going. I don't care what you guys say. If you think you're not going to die, that's okay. I know I'm going to die. I'm packing my suitcase, you know. And then, you know, okay, I didn't have a perfect life, but I'm working hard, and I don't regret the time I spent. It was well spent. Even the mistakes were well spent. Okay. And then I'm stubborn. You know, you got to be stubborn in the Dharma business. Okay. That's why it's so hard for Dharma people to work together. Because they're all stubborn. Because you can't be here if you're not stubborn. So don't worry about it. If you have trouble working in a group, like Shanghai group is always rah, 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 then don't worry about it. You have to be stubborn to be in the Dharma group. Then you put like 20 stubborn people in the same room. It's like stubborn against stubborn. You know, Shanghai, Singapore, same, right? So don't worry about it. If you're not stubborn, you won't be here. Okay? Because the whole world is telling you you're stupid. The whole world says, why you go out in Arizona and sit there in a little house for 2 weeks? Well, you're so stupid. There's not even any internet there. You know? You like that, man? I heard one lady, she said, do you have internet in the retreat? I said, no. She said, oh, I don't want to go there. Okay. All right. So don't listen to people, okay? They will come to you later and they will ask you how to meditate, how to do death. They will ask you later for help. I tell you, I've been there. You know, all my classmates from Princeton University, they all write me now, all of them. My boss in the diamond business last week asking me questions. What do I do? I said, you just wasted 30 years. He's like, yeah, but what do I do? You know, one of my diamond partners became my student, Yoram, right? We were diamond partners for 20 years. He wasn't interested at all. And then suddenly he's like, Geshe-la, I need the Dharma. I'm like, okay. Now he's one of the best teachers in Israel. Okay? So don't listen to people. They will say you're crazy. You tell them they're crazy. Okay? You're not getting ready. You're not getting ready to die. You're crazy. I'm not crazy. Okay? You're eating yotas. I'm meditating. You're crazy. Okay. The last part of those 10. It's called the three promotions, okay? And when you're born into a group called people, okay? When you're born into a group called people, okay? Then if you get interested in Dharma, you don't have time to be a big executive, okay? Like, maybe you have to do guard duty or something like that. You know, you don't have time with your practice. You don't have time to be a super business executive or something like that, okay? You don't have time. So you go underground, okay? That's called dogs. You join the dogs. You're born as a human, and then you join the dogs. Okay, dogs means you have an invisible job. I like to think about... I was going to work in a photo mat. Photo mat is a little box in a parking lot. And every hour some one person comes and gives you photos to develop. And this is in the old days. And then you have the rest of the time to study and meditate. Or like night guard in a warehouse or something. I like to work at 7-Eleven or Circle K, the convenience store. And everybody thinks you're stupid. That's what I put in the picture. Do you have that picture? There's a lady. She's working in a convenience store. Everybody who comes there thinks she's stupid. Oh, you're just working for $6 an hour, you know. You must be stupid, you know. But actually, she's a secret Dharma yogi practitioner, okay? She's like practicing very well. She's in the morning, she meditates, she does her yoga, then she goes to the convenience store, work for $6 an hour. And she's underground. That's called dog. She reached dog. Everybody thinks she's a dog. Everybody thinks she's stupid. Oh, why couldn't you get a good job? You know, why are you working in a convenience store? Okay? Like, why are you such a stupid person? Okay? Then she's okay. She doesn't tell anybody she's really smart. They just say, you're working for $6 an hour. You must be stupid. She's like, yeah, okay. Do you want matches with your cigarettes? You know what I mean? Like, she's just quiet, and she's working on her Dharma in here. Okay? So it doesn't matter what's your job. You can join the dogs, okay? Inside the dogs, you will find the gods. Inside the dogs, you will find the gods. It means people who go join the dogs, then they start to see devas. They start to see deities. They start to see angels in the convenience store, in the 7-Eleven. Manjushri walks in and starts talking about emptiness. Okay? Understand? So all those great yogis who met Manjushri or they met Amitabha, it's people who join the dogs. That's where you get to see the angels, okay? Like, dog means I don't care if you think I'm a good person. I don't care if you think I'm successful. I don't care. I'm working on my Dharma practice, okay? And I don't care. And that's the only way you can see angels, you see? If you think I'm an important person, I'm a vice president, you know, if Amitabha wants to meet me, she'll have to make an appointment. You know what I mean? Like that, okay? And but the people who are voluntarily dogs, they will meet the angels, okay? Then they will have a real... They can hang out with angels all day in the convenience store. Okay? All right, got it? Those are the 10 riches of the Kadambas, okay? Now, you ready? You ready? Are you listening? It's all wrong. It's all wrong. Okay? If you join the dogs, you're going to make more money anyway. You can't stop it. Okay? If you're meditating, if you're practicing, okay? If you really understand Dharma, money will come to you and you can't stop it. Who built this $2 million cafeteria? Who bought this land? This land is $3 million. Who made the 30 houses? This is another $5 million. There's a $10 million in this place in the last few years, okay? Who made it? A bunch of dogs. Okay? So if you practice well, if you really understand Dharma, the Buddha said, you will never be a dog. You'll always, money will come to you. You can't stop it, okay? So don't worry about it. The best way to get to be a vice president is to do your yoga and to do your Dharma practice and to do your meditation and to help poor people, help sick people, help elderly people, and they will make you vice president. Okay? Because that's the karma. Okay? You don't get to be vice president by coming in early. And you don't get to be vice president by staying late. Okay? You get to be vice president by making the karma. Okay? So the end of the Kadampa 10 jewels is always the same story. They always say, you can forget it. All of it. Okay? Money will come to you. Okay? Money will come to you. You want money, it will come. Okay? If you practice. Okay? If you practice well, if you understand Dharma, if you understand where money comes from, because you're meditating, because you're studying, because you're doing your yoga, because you're serving poor people, okay? Money will come to you, okay? This $2 million over here in the kitchen, we didn't have to make the money. It just came. You see, we didn't have to work. We didn't have to pay taxes. We didn't have to go through 10 years of trouble fighting for money. You know, it just came. Okay? It's much easier. Okay? Plant the seed. Then you don't have to do the accounting and you don't have to fight with the taxes and the company. You know, it just come. Okay? Because you understand where money comes from. So the end of the story is always the same. Lord Buddha had the karma to be king of the world for 10 billion years. Okay? He had that much extra karma in his pocket, you know, to be king of the world for like 10 billion years. And then one day, he took all that karma and he said, I dedicate this karma to all the people who spend their time practice, meditate, yoga, serve the poor, and who have lousy job. I dedicate all this karma to them, you know. And they will never be poor. It's not possible. Okay? They will never go hungry. They will never die and their body is thrown in a dumpster. Okay? It's not possible. So Buddha actually dedicated... He put that karma in the bank. And there's a way to give karma to other people. Okay? If you're a high person, like a Buddha, there's a way to bank karma for people. And he banked it. And he said, And then he said something really extreme. He said, if any Dharma person goes hungry because they did the Dharma, then I will not be a Buddha. I retire. Then I didn't become Buddha. Okay? Cancel it. Okay? He said that. Got it? So this whole thing of you're going to have to meditate, you're going to have to spend time doing your practice, and because of that, you won't be a big person at work. It's not true, okay? If it was true, you should still be willing to do it, okay? But the truth is the opposite. Money will come to you. You'll always have enough, okay? More than you want, okay? Got it? Should you be willing to be poor? Yes. Should you be willing to be a nobody at work? Yes. Do you have to be a nobody at work if you do it? No, you'll be somebody. Okay? You'll be successful. You'll be super successful. Okay? You have to understand that. It looks like you're wasting 2 weeks of your time to come to Arizona, but actually you're putting a lot of money in the bank. Okay? You're actually doing something very smart. You're not losing anything. Okay? You're making extra money. It's a good investment. Okay? You had a question back there? Oh, the last three? Last two. Okay, the last three are called the three promotions. So, you are born as a human being, normal person, okay? Then if you're, you know, what's a promotion mean? For me, promotion means two things. Number one, they come to Geshe Michael and say, you're now vice president of Andine International, okay? You get to be in charge of 10,000 people, okay? They may give you a promotion, okay? That's one kind of promotion. The other kind of promotion I like is when Scott comes to me and says, somebody paid for you to have business class to China. You get to sleep the whole way. I'm like, huh. You know, that's a promotion, okay? So promotion means you go up, right? So if you're lucky in this life, you'll get promoted to the dogs. The convenience store worker. Lousiest job in America. It used to be gas guy, but now you do your own gas. So, okay. And because you got promoted to the dogs, you get another promotion to the gods. Okay. Devas, angels, deities. Okay. Because you're so humble, you can meet them. Okay. Because you have humility. You can meet them in the convenience store. They'll come in and say, where's the Coke? And then they'll say, you want to go to Vajigini's Heaven this afternoon? And you say, well, let me show you the Coke first then. Okay? Really, that's how it happens. Proud people never meet those people. You see what I mean? Okay? Got it? It's the second promotion is to the gods after the dogs. Okay? Okay? But again, and we'll take a break, but don't never think you're losing money or, you know. Oh, I hear people say that. I gave up a manager position in my job because I was practicing my Dharma. And that's wrong, okay? If you lost a manager position at work, it's because you didn't practice. Okay, understand? If you meditate well, Wang Xia in Shanghai, she's like a manager at Apple Corporation, right? And that's a good example. She's balancing her Dharma practice and her business. And Candy, I mean, they are making their business their Dharma practice, and that they're mixed together. The Dharma practice and the business are not separate. You don't have to say, I'm going to practice Dharma. I don't have time for my business. You know, you should be able to do both. Okay? Because the business success comes from meditating and from helping other people. Okay? So, if you think your Dharma practice is costing you success, you have a problem. There's something wrong there. Okay? It will come together. If you know where things are coming from, success will come. If you don't spend time to learn that, you won't be successful. Okay? Got it? So meditate every day, yoga every day. It makes you more successful. Okay? You will be more successful. Maybe instead of being a vice president in somebody else's company, you will start your own company. Okay? Like that. If you're successful for somebody else, you don't have time to start your own thing. You got it? Okay. We pay, John Brady pays his workers, they work for 8 hours a day, I guess, and they get, but they only work for 6 hours a day. 1 hour a day they get paid to meditate. And they get paid to do 1 hour of yoga a day. All his workers get paid 2 hours a day for yoga and meditation. Okay? Because he gets more work. He gets more work out of them. Better work. Okay? Got it? So don't believe this Kadampa stuff. Don't think of it that way. Many people did that. Many people made that mistake, you know. Oh, I have to do my Dharma and I can't be successful. You know, that's a mistake. Okay. And Buddha spent here, they spent many pages explaining it. They quoted where is that? Search for the number 60,000. Just, you know, command F 60, comma 000. Yeah, here. This is the story. I translated it for you, okay? That's an, yeah, right there. Can you go down a little bit? A little more. This is from the Lotus Sutra, okay? Very famous sutra. It's the most famous sutra in Japan. And it says, if you do any Dharma practice, you will never be hungry. Here it says, there will come a day when people trade a box of pearls for a box of flour. Famine, days of famine. But people who are meditating and yoga, they will never be hungry. Who said that? It's a Buddha, okay? It's his own quotation, okay? Got it? So don't think if I practice Dharma, if I go for retreat, I'm going to lose my job or, you know, I won't be successful or I won't make money, okay? It's the opposite. If you take time to learn where things are coming from, you can be very successful and have a beautiful Dharma practice, okay? And that's the goal, okay? Okay, got it? Okay. All right, take a break. Okay. Dana, you okay, Adam? DES, it's way above that. We didn't get that yet. You can look up class 3. CLASS space 3. There you go. No. That's clear. That's 10, 11, 21. Give 21 plus 3. There you go. Okay. Dena tsendi letang na lo puk chulate. If you manage to give up this life, then you're mainly focusing on your practice. Okay. De jesu tsoa sok jormi jorka samba chung na. Then maybe it's going to cost you some money in the beginning, okay? Maybe you can't be as successful in the beginning. Sampachungna, den dawa ma chungnang rung. Then okay, that's okay with me, okay? So the transition to Dharma practitioner takes, it might cost you some career. Later, the career will be much greater than it would have been, okay? Rung nyambe chupuk changla. So you have to aim your Dharma practice at Zhang. Zhang means broke. Broke all the time. Okay? Familiar? Yeah. Okay. All right. Zhang. Then we're going to skip that whole extra piece I put in there. Dakchaki Tembe Kyang. Okay. BDAG. Yeah, keep going down. There you go. Yeah, good. Dakchaki Tembe Kyang. Kimme Kimme Parop to Chungshin. So even the Buddha, you know, decided to give up his palace and went out in the forest to practice. Gyalseki Pyeongjar Kun Dorne, he gave up all the wealth of a prince. Kenigi Chut Ne Nyepin Napsa Shepa. And he got his clothes out of dumpsters. Okay, Kenig means garbage. Okay, he took his clothes out of the garbage. And you know, I mean, I told you before, but the monk's robes with the patches, nowadays you buy an expensive piece of cloth, you cut it up, and you make patches. In the old days, you're supposed to take pieces of cloth out of the garbage and sew them together, and that's why we have these patches. Okay. Shepa lo puk chulate. So even Lord Buddha decided it was okay to give up his career for his practice. Chipuk Changla Tepayan, and he also aimed his practice at becoming a beggar, okay, or broke. Jay Rinpoche Kyang Deshinze, and Jetsun Kapa did the same thing, okay? Jetsun Kapa never had a job, okay? I mean, it sounds easy now, but it was hard at the time. Sometimes they had like $2 or $3 or something, okay? Chiputan Tepa Jesu Sema Nene Shiwar Mingyuram Nyamba Chungna. Let's do a meditation here, okay? I'm just trying to get you ready for your meditations, okay? This will be the fourth one that you'll do in the 3-day retreat, okay? Meditation number 4. Who is that guy and why is that picture there? What's he doing? He's a barista. Good. Who said that? Yeah, I think if Milarepa was alive today, he would be a barista. It means he's not making much money. He's just working in a coffee shop. Okay? It looks like he's not successful, but the reason he's a barista is in the morning he has to meditate, he has to do his yoga, he has to do his study, and so he goes at 9 o'clock and he opens the coffee shop, okay? And people think he's just a dumb guy who can't get a better job than that. But actually, he got promoted to the dogs so he could see the gods. Okay, got it? All right, you got it. Okay, here we go. We're going to do meditation number 4. He's a barista, but he looks pretty happy to me. So relax your face. Relax your hands. Come to your breath.
Then think about your practice, all the things you do. Hopefully some daily meditation. And some yoga practice. Some study. Keep track of your vows. Help other people. And then think about making money. And that in the beginning, you might not have time to spend a lot of time making money. You might have to give up some of the money-making time for your practice. And get used to it mentally. We'll stay here for a few minutes. And then if it got very serious and you couldn't afford expensive treatments by doctors, and if it cost you your life, would it be worth it? And then even if you died and your body was just lying in a house and nobody cared, nobody knew about it, would it be worth it? You can come to your breath, watch your breath. Three deep breaths. And then you can slowly open your eyes. We're going to start at Chupuk. His other girlfriend. Chupuk Tana Tepe Jesu Semanyene. If you think, oh, I won't make enough money, I won't be able to support myself. Shiva Mingyoram Nyambachuna. Maybe I could even die because I don't have enough money to, you know, get good treatments and things like that. You should be willing to project your poverty to your own death. It's no problem, okay? You should think like that. If I do it for my Dharma practice, it's okay. Detar le tangyang. You might give up on this life in this way, but doctor, we should talk about, okay? Tok means latatatano de togasa. Tok means to be hungry. Chogotoso means yo tengo hambre. I'm hungry. Okay, trogo tok. So tok means to be hungry. Chi means, do you know? Chi. Chi means a knife. Okay, so tok chi on the knife of hunger. Shiwa. Yeah. To die on the knife of hunger. It means to die from hunger. Okay? Tam me. Tam me means no Dharma person ever died from hunger because they practiced Dharma. Okay? Thimbakaran Chengi, our teacher, the Buddha, a teacher of kindness, Korgyur Chukchi Sunam, he had enough karma to be king of the world, Chiduk. Chi means 10,000, Druk means 6, so 60,000 times. He had enough karma
to be king of the world 60,000 times. Rangchakla ngor zepa, but he ngor to us. Dedicated to us. Do we ever do ngor?
Yes.
When? At the end of class, we always give away our good karma. Okay? So Buddha did that for us. Okay? Buddha gave us his good karma. He could have been king of the world for 60,000 times. Okay? 60,000 lifetimes. Jigten nam muke chedam mute je wake up. So even if in the world there comes a time when you have to trade a spoonful of pearls for a spoonful of rice or something like that, okay? Famine. Jungnan, Jain Juk Suang. Jain Juk Suang, Dr. Shiva Min Jungde. Jain Juk means follower. Jesu Jupa means person who comes after. So Jain Juk means follower. Doctor, to die on the knife of hunger, to die from hunger. Minjung. It never happened, okay? People practicing Dharma will never go hungry, die from hunger. Gomchen Turma. Then there's a saying in Tibet, it says, Gomchen Turduma Chene. If the meditator doesn't come out of their retreat cabin, down out of the mountain for their from their retreat cabin, the food will roll up. Like cupcakes and stuff will roll uphill to them because the karma is so strong of a meditator. So you don't have to worry that you're not going to have enough money, okay? Give up worrying that if you practice you won't have enough money. Just give it up. It's not going to happen. Okay? Just stop worrying about it, okay? It'll come. I don't mean you should be a Dharma bum. I don't mean you should stop working and go live in your friend's house and eat all their food and they're working but you're not working because you're religious and they're not. You know, and that's not good. That's not fair, okay? If you decide to practice full time, then you take the responsibility for it and you take the consequences of it, okay? But you don't go grubbing off of other people, okay? That's a really bad habit. Okay. If you decide to be a yogi and not make much money, then you live with it. And you don't go bothering other people. You don't write your mom and say, "Send me money, I'm a yogi." Okay? If you decide to be a yogi, then be a yogi. But don't bother other people. Okay? Okay. That's just lazy. Okay? A lot of the people who decide they're going to be a full-time yogi are just lazy, and they spend the time on Facebook and watching videos, you know? And then they call their friends and say, "I'm practicing, can you bring me food?" You know? Okay? If you're really full-time Dharma, if you're really working full-time in a heavy retreat or something, that's okay. You can ask people for food. But make sure you're not just being lazy, okay? That's a bad habit. That's a really bad habit. Dharma bum. Okay? Dharma bum. Okay? That's not a good thing. And I don't think we should put up with it. Okay? In our own group. You know, someone comes to you and says, I couldn't get a job. I'm too busy meditating. You say, okay, keep your hours on your notebook and show me. You know what I mean? Like that. Okay? Show me you're not just watching Facebook all day. Okay? I don't think you should support them. If the person's not like really full-time Dharma practice, I don't think you should support them. Okay, and that also, in my mind, it's true of a lot of monks and nuns. Okay, in the monasteries, in those big monasteries, a lot of them aren't doing anything. Okay, so just because they have a red robe on, be careful. If someone asks you for money, say, "Show me what you're doing. You know, show me how you spend your day." You know, they say, "Donate money to our monastery." You say, "What are you guys doing there?" You know, show me. If you're going to donate money to a monastery, then they should show you what they're doing. Okay? Because a lot of monasteries, they're just sitting around. They're not doing anything. Okay? There are some people working very hard. Really hard. And then there are many people not doing anything. So, we have to, if you're a sponsor, it's hard to be a good sponsor. You have to be a responsible sponsor. And you have to say, "Show me what you're doing." Okay? John has a system with his Dharma employees. that they have to put into Dropbox every day, every week, what they did, how did they spend their time, every hour, how did they spend every hour. I think you should ask those monks. Okay, they say, oh, make a donation to my monastery. I say, show me what you're studying, or show me what your schedule is, you know. And some of them are just sitting around, okay. And it's bad. That's caused trouble in the past. Okay? Hundreds of years. Okay? All right. Geshe Benki Kyang. Na mike du kor sun serma dawa ta kyang. Da mang sun nyung. This is a very hard Tibetan. It's very hard to translate. Geshe, it means Geshe, right? Ben is his name, his personal name. Maybe he plays guitar too, I don't know. His name was Geshe Ben. And he was, sometimes he's called Geshe Ben Jagma. Jagma means bandit, outlaw, thief, steals things from people's house, okay? And his career before he was a Geshe, he was a thief, okay? Sometimes they call Geshe Ben Jag. Jag means thief, or not, how do you call? The guy who meets you on the road and points a gun at you, and not the guy who sneaks in your house. Band, like a bandit. No, he's not the kind who sneaks in your house at night. He's the guy who meets you on Highway 10, stops your car, puts a gun up your head, and says, give me your money. Okay? Bertha knows these guys. Yeah, she had it. With the gang in Mexico. Anyway, Ben Ki Kyang says, Mikya means, Kya means what? Sakya means what? Sakya. Gray or pale. Okay, pale. And in the old days, the word for a layman was Mikya, white cloth. White cloth person, as opposed to a red cloth person. So when I used to be a Mikya, which means, sometimes they say Kyami, sometimes they say Mikya, it means a lay person. Who's not a monk. Before I became a monk, Korsum Serma Dravatak, I wore the three Serma. Serma means a thorn, like on a cactus, it's called a Serma. But in weaponry, it means a spear, arrow, and knife. Okay? So he wore a sword, a spear, and arrows. And Dra Monk, he had lots of enemies, and Sung Nyung, he had not too many friends. Okay? Alright? Nam ngam posheng nimo lake jakpache. So I used to be the guy who would go up alone on the mountain passes and rob people. Okay? Michik la du kel shichu doi shin yupe. Mitsu nge ming shichu dik. They used to call me. I stole a lot of people's property, and I had a lot of farm income, and so people would call me Mr. Rich Farmer. Okay, Sutak, they call me that. Nimo lake jagpache. In the daytime, I rob people in the passes. Temo trongi kuman chekyang. And then I started to get into, what do you call that? Burglary, also. I used to steal things from people's houses at night. Dadu se kun newa le machung. And it got harder and harder for me to get money. So I expanded my criminal operations, but I got less and less income. Okay? Tatani che chepe. Now I decided to be a monk and do dharma all day. Sega pombame, and food just comes to me, and clothes just come to me. Drangri shusum, and people like me better. Suddenly all my enemies are gone. Okay? All right. It means you don't have to worry, you won't have enough money. Okay? Then there's a bunch of stories about him, and I don't have time to tell them. Shemba miro shindu lokyo na duyun gyag Duyen Jagoshin Du Tibne Ong. All your desires for things, if you kill them, right? Like, I need more clothes, or I need more shoes, or I need a better car, okay? All those desires, if you kill them, okay? Kill those desires. Then vultures will come, the birds who eat the corpses, they will come. And that's money and friends. Okay? Got it? If you kill your desires, the vultures of money and friends will come to you to feed on the corpse. Understand? When you kill somebody, then the birds come to eat the dead body, right? But if that dead body is your desire, if you kill that desire, then money will come, friends will come. Okay? Kill your own desires, and money will come, and friends will come. Okay? Like birds, like vultures, okay? Sarvatar, yinsum. Jetsong kape sok chenne namka da nyamba yang sela tang ne chushin de zelai chung. The reason why Jetsong Kapa's mission in the world was so successful was that he gave up on life. Okay? And he was internationally successful. You know, all the Mongolia, China, Afghanistan, they all became Buddhists, okay? He was successful because he gave up on this life, okay? Physically, he was very successful, okay? The Emperor of China asked to be his student, okay? And he didn't have time to go teach him. He sent the founder of Sera Monastery, okay? So the reason he was internationally successful was he gave up. He didn't want anything. Okay, he gave up on things. Okay, Sakya Bashiki, Sakya Washiki, Jay Lama Wangdu, Drupa Dra Samne Wangdu Tamjeki Nangne Kansap Che Shutsu. Then there was somebody, a Sakyapa, who saw how successful Jetsun Kapa was in a worldly way. And he said, are you using black magic? He said, can you teach me the black magic you're doing to be successful? You know. So he thought he was doing black magic, but he was actually what? He just gave up on being famous and getting attention and things like that. Okay? He gave up on those things. He did a lot of death meditation. Okay? And he didn't want those things. He gave up on those things. Okay? And that's why he got so successful. So if you devote your time to meditation, practice, hard study, all the success you think you lost will come more. More will come to you, okay? Much more. Okay? Okay. You're not losing anything. Okay. Shiwei tso ro dorche tsun la kacha chungse gorshina. Kacha here, you should learn, okay? Kacha means box. Money. Little bit of money. Shiwei se ro dorche tsunna. But if I don't make any money at all, what are they going to do with my body after I die? Shina. Shiwei se anji da chene shinang shi she shipu su dropo. So you should be willing to push your poverty to your death, and you should be willing to push your death to some empty place in the desert where they throw your body. Okay? Dumpster. Dumpster behind the thing. What's the thing? It's a gas station between here and Tucson. They say they have a monster inside. You have to pay $10 to see it. If you see it, you're not allowed to tell anybody. I'm sorry. But they have a garbage can in the back that nobody looks at. Okay. Shiwei tse yang jita shine shinang shi pusa dropo. Tomba la tepa sok. Kadam puk nor chu. Puk nor chu means the ultimate 10 riches. Okay, there's the Tibetan for it. Puk nor chu. Puk means long term. Tsul gepa sung. Mile kyang. Who's Mille? Yeah, Milarepa. So Milarepa is a very famous meditator from, I don't know, 800 years ago. Shinangumi matching Rola Kormi Mena Sambadzopa Sungso. My hopes will be achieved if when I die there's no one to cry for me and if there's nobody standing around the bed. Okay? Then my practice is complete. Okay? Rangi ro torwe nguche gunyam yang miso kyukto te nyudu bub tap chepale ro mel sar You don't have to worry that you have to leave a lot of money behind for a nice funeral because nobody likes a corpse anyway. And they're going to get rid of you as fast as they can. So don't think, you know, if I don't leave enough money for a nice funeral, I'm not happy, okay? Because the only thing your relatives want after you die is to get rid of your body as fast as possible. Kyukto means it's disgusting. The corpse is disgusting. Kyukto means makes you want to throw up. Okay, Kyukto de nyodo butap chepale. They will get rid of you as fast as they can. Ro melsar ludroi do patenimiko. Don't worry about how you're going to look on the deathbed. You won't be there very long. Okay. Amiga, detar chege le tangte lo takche tupa chungna jikten di deki nyansum pumba shinduong. If you give up on wanting to be famous and you just devote yourself to your practice, you will get famous by accident or by karma, okay? And if you try to be famous, you won't be, okay? Got it? So if your practice is really pure, then deki nian means happiness, joy, and fame. They will follow you. Okay, if your practice is good over a long period of time, then you will get famous anyway. You can't avoid it. Okay, if you try to get famous and that makes your practice dirty, then you won't. You'll just always be trying to be famous. Okay, deki shinduong. Dena jikten chike dundu nyawani jikten ba yinla sendi lo tomba chepa yente. So if somebody, how do you decide if somebody is a Dharma practitioner or just a normal person? What's the division? Is it the robe? What is it? Yeah, it's the eight thoughts, okay? If you don't have them, you're a real monk. If you do have them, you're not a monk. It doesn't matter what you're wearing, okay? Right. Tomba yinde geshe potowe domtun la. Geshe potowa said to domtunba kadampa lamas chodan chima yinbe namte kanglak she shubar. He said, "What divides Dharma people from other people? How do you draw the line between Dharma people and other people? It's called tikpa. Okay, tikpa means when you do a mandala, when you do this sand mandala." You have to snap lines. You hold the string on this side, you hold the string on this side, colored string with colored powder on it. Two people hold the string and then one person goes like this, tick. It's called tick. I used to do it for a carpenter for 3 months in the summer every year. You just snap lines on, you know, on carpentry, okay? So anyway, how do you snap the line between a Dharma person and a non-Dharma person? What's the line between them? Kalashe nyomon be nyembo drona chuyen. If something makes you a nicer person, it's Dharma. Men drona chumin. If it doesn't make you a nicer person, it's not Dharma. Okay? That's all. Pretty easy. Jigtenba kunda mi tumba chuyen. Tumba chumin. If your viewpoint matches that of the general population, you're probably not doing Dharma. If your viewpoint doesn't match the viewpoint of the general population, you're probably doing Dharma. Okay. Your viewpoint's going to be different. What you think is important is different. You know. I took care of my Lama for 30 years, and people told me all the time he was taking advantage of me, and I was naive, you know. and I was stupid, and he was taking advantage of me, and it's the opposite, right? Like, I got, he saved my life, you know. I got everything from that, okay? So don't listen to people, okay? It's not true. I did it for 30 years. I'm very happy, extremely happy, extremely grateful, okay? Chodang ji tem gyab gyal we ne de yin ki ka den che gyu da shi kang kyang gyu ni ka su kyang chok Chodang ji tem gyab gyal ne pe de that's what makes Dharma people different from other people. That's why it's opposite Dharma person and other people. Ka den che gyu da shi kang kyang gyu ni ka su kyang chok. How are you ever going to have time to study Dharma deeply and take care of a large house and many things, okay? You got to make a choice, okay? You won't have time to feed a large house and lots of possessions and do all your Dharma practice. You won't have time to do both. You will never have time to do both. Chok means have time, okay? Do you know Mi Chok Mei? Yeah, there's a certain meditation stage you have to reach to see emptiness directly, and it's also called Mi Chok. Okay, Mi Chok Mei. Okay. Hang in there, we got 15 more minutes. I know you're tired, I don't care. Rang re chugela tukdam ki kil tu chepe, lu chube sugnyan samne, sam chi ten kimba dan ki mepa din chung. Chugela tukdam til tu chepe. Tukdam til tu chepe. Til means your, what do you call this? Palm. Okay? Tukdam til means to make something your main practice. Okay? Tukdam means your heart practice. So, what do you make your heart practice? Til tu chepe. If your outside appearance is very, what do you call it? Monk? You look like monk outside. You have red robes and you're always like this, you know. Okay, but sem is jikten. Sem is, what do you call it? All wrapped up in the world. Then kemapa dujung. Then you're just a worldly person, okay? So it doesn't matter what you look like outside. It matters what you're doing, okay? Seilu tangna chen namda yong tap ki tso chiwa mitapa gomba diyan. What's the main way to prevent getting wrapped up in this life is chiwa mitapa. Yeah, death meditation, okay? Tsedi luma tangna. If you don't give up on this life, chukang che tse dipa short drawway. All your thoughts will be about this life. Rangi ngune jikten chugye gonyam. So from our side, we have to try to level out those eight attitudes. Togu tamsum. To. Food. Like, what's the next feeding? What is Geshe Michael going to have for lunch, Andriana? Okay, to, ge. Yeah, what should I wear today? Tam. Yeah, are people saying, le tang, give it up in your mind. De tombe se kyang. How do you know you gave it up? Yawang kelsang dam, penchen losang yeshita gwente. So there are two Dalai Lamas he mentions here. One is Yawang Kelsang Gyatso. Gyawang is the Tibetan word for Dalai Lama. They don't say Dalai Lama. They say Gyawang. Okay. Gyawang means king of the Buddhas or something. Gyawang. And one is Kelsang Gyatso, seventh Dalai Lama. Okay. Very great tantric practitioner. And then Penchen Losang Yeshi. Okay. Who you know. These two great lamas. Gyawang Kelsang Gi Dordyo Dang Chuga Namsung Ne Rang Yin Yin Yamba Shen Me Sung. Somebody asked that Dalai Lama, how much stuff do you have? He said, I got three things. I own three things. They said, how much stuff you got? They have a palace, right? Potala Palace, 1,050 rooms. And they asked him, how much stuff do you own? He says, there's only three things that I own. My bell, my vajra, and my robes. If I think, what do I own? What's mine? It's just those three things. My robes, my bell, and my vajra. That's all I own. Pension losan yeshi la nguta ta migma gya puwa lang manyetso. Then this pension lama, this older pension lama, somebody offered him 100 ingots of gold, bars of gold, silver, sorry. And he got upset. And he said, what am I supposed to do with that? You know, how can I carry this stuff around? You know, and he said, take it, get rid of it. Okay. Manyetso. Rang re togu tam sum ki shambale gashik chik, gashik ni sum ke. So you have to judge which of the Togu Tamsum you have a problem with. Some people have a problem with one of them, some people have a problem with two of them, some people have a problem with all three of them. Okay? Like I have to, but I don't have ko so much. What? I'm always thinking about what the next meal's gonna be. But I don't care so much about what my clothes are, okay? Tam, I like it a lot. I like to be, you know, be in the public and like that, okay? So I have two of the three. Then you have to check which ones you have, okay? Do you have a food problem? Do you have a clothes problem? Stuff problem? Or do you have want to be famous problem? You know, which ones? He says that some people are chingwa by one, some people are chingwa by two, and some people are chingwa by three. Okay? What's chingwa? Huh? Chingwa, that's chingwa. Chingwa. Chingwa means handcuff. Okay? What do you call it? Chain. Okay? Some people have chain to their food. Some people chain to their clothes. Some people chain to want to be famous, okay? So which one do you have? You have to decide, okay? Some people have all three. They sum ki nang ne kyang. Which of the three is most difficult to give up? What do you think? Tam, yeah. I want people to talk about me. Yeah. Desire to be famous is the hardest one to give up. Pang kasha means most difficult to give up. Tam. It's a desire for recognition. Ketsin tun gom su ying kyang tam nyan dupa mang yang. So many great practitioners, many meditators, many Dharma people, the one they had the most trouble with was number three. You know, I hope people notice I'm a great meditator. You know, I hope people see how generous I am, you know. I hope people understand how many Tibetan words I know. Okay? Dupamam. Gyar doi gumbu, tsendi ketsun gom chen yang, tsendi ke lo tsun lo du. Samje ya tem yige chi, mida mite gom chen yang, tsendi gom chen sang lo du, che dang. So there was a lama named Gyardoy Gumbo, and he said, Sendi Ketsun Gomchen Yang, even people who are great scholars of Buddhism, or they are great monks or nuns, or they are great retreaters, they're hoping that people heard that they are great scholars and great retreaters and great meditators. Okay, deep in their heart, they feel really happy when people hear, oh, he did a three-year retreat, you know. They're like, don't tell anybody. I mean, yeah, you could tell a few people. You know, like, you meet somebody. I met this guy, where was that? Oh, in India. I met him on the stage. He came up on the stage to sign a book. And in the time it took to sign the book, he told me three times that he was a championship boxer 20 years ago. And we're like that, you know. We're like, you know, what would you like for breakfast? And, you know, what's the news in the Middle East? And did you hear I did a 3-year retreat? Like that, you know. You're hoping somebody will tell somebody. Okay. Samje Yatem Yigeti. People put the retreat marker on their door. Midam Mite Gomchen Yang. And they decide not to meet anybody. But Sendi Gomchen Salong Du. But they're hoping everybody heard about it. Oh, I put a marker on my retreat door. I'm in deep retreat. And I'm not going to meet anybody. But I hope everybody finds out. Okay. Chebar. Tana Koinjo Chupare Chekyan Mi Yi Tong Dure. It even gets so bad that when we put an offering on the altar of a little cake or something, we're like, we're hoping somebody will see that we made a nice cake and we're putting on, you know, look at the nice flower I offered to my lama, you know. And then you're like giving them the flower and you're like, you know. And we all have it, okay? If you think you don't have it, you're stupid. I have it, you have it, we all have it, okay? Don't think you don't have it. I have it. We all have it. If you know you have it, you're smarter. Okay? Everybody has it. Okay? Everybody. Okay? It's better to know you're stupid than to think you're smart. Okay. Tana Konjo Chupare. That should go down in some kind of quotation book. Check out me, Tonuni. Yachet Salte, Kachik Gomchen Dan Drupal. 2 more minutes. Kachik Gomchen Dan Drupal to Lom Shing, Togu La Che Kurte, Meto Dan Du Chu Lenso, Kachi La Tsunyang, Ting Ne Dam Du Chung Se, Re Mepakan. It's very rare to find a person who doesn't have any desire to be well known by other people. Even people who go into who make a big deal about fasting or being in deep retreat, and they live off of metta, means flower essences. They can live off little pieces of flowers for 6 years or something. I met 2 guys who did that. They decided they're from Europe. I don't think they're from Germany, but maybe, I don't know. But they heard that you could live off pieces of flowers and called du chu len. Chu len means the inside of the flower, those little things. And supposed to be if you make little pills from that, you can eat it and you don't have to eat for like 3 years. So they did it. And they looked terrible. They looked like they didn't eat for 3 years. And they were so like, look, we did it, you know. And I'm like, no, if you really do Chulen, you're supposed to look great. Okay? If you really know this magic practice, you're supposed to look great. Your meditation sustains your body. You're supposed to look really healthy. You're not supposed to look all skinny and half dead, you know. Okay? Chulen so kache la tsunyang. So they're trying very hard to do fasting and not to eat and live off these little pieces of flowers. But ting ne means deep down inside. Ting means deep down inside. Ting ne. Tam. They want people to say, oh wow, he's not eating, you know. To find anybody who doesn't want that is kun. Kun, very rare. That's the kun in what? Koinchong, okay? Okay? Very rare to find somebody who doesn't want it, okay? And we all have it, and it's better if you know you have it, and then you can control it, okay? It's like you have an addiction to alcohol or pornography, or you have addiction to food. It's better if you know you have it. If you try to pretend you don't have it, then you have a problem, okay? It's better to know you have this addiction to wanting other people to say you're cool. Okay? And then you can deal with it. Then you can manage the addiction. Okay? But if you don't admit it, then you have a problem. Okay? We all have it. Okay? Alright? Okay. And you have to fight with it.